This is this time between resurrection and ascension. I can't profess to be like Lawrence and do all the sounds accompanying, but I do long and pray that the Holy Spirit will be breathed into our hearts now, that we might hear the word of God and we might respond to that word. We're starting a new, this doesn't seem to be working, if somebody can help me to get this done. We're starting a new series on living in the Spirit today, and several of us will be helping Emilian. So I don't know why it's not. So I think you're going to have to change for me, this doesn't seem to work, unless somebody can do some magic here. This new series is beginning. There's so much intriguing mystery in the 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension. And it's an indication of what's awaiting us, because we're going to have a body somewhat like, indeed entirely like, the Lord Jesus. That is our destiny. Our bodies are going to be changed to be like His. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that. Especially as I get a bit slower and a bit, older, a bit more achy and painy. How about you? How are you getting on with life? We're going to be totally new. And that's what we're thinking about here in this time, at this moment. Yes, thank you. So the mystery of a resurrected body. Jesus had a different body. It could pass through doors. It could be anywhere, at any moment. But it could only be in one place, at one moment. Jesus ate with the disciples. Thank you, Phil. He joined them on many occasions. He appeared to many different people. And think about the two on the Emmaus Road. They were walking along, and maybe it was Cleopas and his wife, we don't know. We just know the name of the man. And as they were walking, sad Jesus appeared and came alongside them. But they didn't know it was Jesus. They didn't recognize him because he had a different body. And only when he began to break the bread, oh, it's him. They recognized him by his action. And Mary Magdalene, we thought a lot about Mary Magdalene on Easter Sunday, didn't we? And she was, at first, she was so discouraged and disappointed and weeping. Where have you put him? Where have you put him? I'll go and get him. And then Jesus just said her name. And she recognized him. Because she recognized his voice. You see, he's different. He was different. But he was the same. Amazing, isn't it? Luke 24, verse 37. We know he was not a ghost. They were startled and frightened. This is the disciples in the upper room, thinking they saw a ghost. Because Jesus has suddenly appeared among them. Come through the door, the closed door where they were afraid of the Jews. And there he was. And they thought he was a ghost. No, they said, I'm not a ghost. He said, look at my hands and my feet. It's I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Can we go back a bit? You've lost. Thank you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? A ghost doesn't ask that kind of question. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, and yet flesh and bones can't come through doors and appear suddenly and disappear suddenly, can it? See, it's different. So he takes a piece of broiled fish and eats it in their presence. If we can go for the next one, thank you. He was in process of ascending to the Father. He hadn't got there yet. You're going to see my notes before I see them myself, but never mind. Mary Magdalene was not to cling to his body. Mary said, when she responded, "My Master," he said, "Oh, Mary, don't cling to this body. I've not yet ascended to my Father. I'm going to your Father. I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." He's in process of ascending. He's different, and yet he's the same. The purpose in delaying his ascension, what was it? Now we come to the passage which was read for us so beautifully by Elaine. Verse 2 in Acts chapter 1. He gave instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. This is one reason why he delayed for 40 days between his ascension, his resurrection and his ascension to heaven. He wanted to give instructions, but notice the change. He's not now sitting on the mountainside and talking as a man. He's teaching them through the Holy Spirit. It's different. Verse 3. He showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. So you see, that's why he delayed going to heaven. Because he wanted to show to these disciples that he was truly alive. And then he appeared to them, same verse, over a period of 40 days, and spoke about the kingdom of God. Hey, wouldn't you have liked to be in that congregation? Wouldn't you have liked to be one of those? As Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, talked about the kingdom. And you remember on the Emmaus Road, these two, Jesus began to open the scriptures to them. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? To have Jesus opening the scriptures? And here in the upper room, we go on to read, I think, if I remember rightly, if we could just go to the next one. Verse 4. It doesn't actually, my notes don't give it there, but on, in one of the occasions when Jesus was there with his disciples, he went through all the scriptures concerning himself. And he showed them how the Christ must suffer and die and then rise again. And it's all in the scriptures. Well, the scriptures are the Old Testament. How often do you read the Old Testament? How often do you really dig into the Old Testament? How often do you find that the whole story from Genesis right through to Revelation is all one story? It's all about Jesus. It's all about himself. Wouldn't you have liked to be there? Wouldn't you have loved to have Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, teaching you all about himself in the scriptures? Verse 4. On one occasion, notice, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. So while he was busy demonstrating that he was indeed the same and yet different, while he was indeed showing them that he was alive, he then gave them this command. while he was eating, to show that he was the same, to show that he was a physical body and yet not a physical body. Do not leave Jerusalem, he said, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Wow. This baptism in the Holy Spirit has caused so much controversy. It's caused so much misunderstanding. It's caused so many people to argue with each other. Those who have been baptized, and they would say, in the Holy Spirit, they say, well, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to speak in tongues, and if you don't, you're not really a Christian. Others would say, hey, you know, these people have gone over the top. So I don't know where you are. I know that I'm somewhere in the middle. I think we need to be in the middle, actually. I think we need to understand that this is totally different. This is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And all this breathing in and out, Lawrence, that was so graphic. Have we been breathed upon? Have we received the Holy Spirit? Are we different? So this is all part of why Jesus delayed his ascension. And notice what he says. You have to wait in Jerusalem. They were commanded to wait for the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't like waiting, do we? How are you like me? I don't like waiting. I like to get on and do things. I like to be active and proactive, do you? Or are you one of these kind of people who sit back and let things happen around you? I don't understand that kind of mentality myself, but we're all different. We like to rush in and do. And Jesus says, no, wait. Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you can't do it yourself. And I've had a whole lifetime having to learn and relearn and relearn that I cannot do anything of myself. Nothing. It has to be Him. And it's a hard lesson to learn, especially if you're gifted, especially if you're active, especially if you have great opportunities opening for you. Wait, said Jesus. Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. That's it, can we go on? Next part, please. Verse 6. Of course, they began to ask him about the kingdom. Oh, you know, that was very interesting. Jesus, what about the, what are you going to do? Well, you know, and all these questions. And Jesus said, oh, no, wait a minute. Leave that to the Father, because the Father alone knows these things. And we like to make excuses. When God says to us, wait, when Jesus says to us, wait for the power, we don't like that. And we began to ask questions, theological questions maybe, or questions about the baptism of the Holy Spirit maybe. Things that can, whatever it can do to distract. When Jesus says, wait for the power, we start asking questions. Verse 7. It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But that's what's going to happen. But wait for the power. Thank you. That was the second account of the Great Commission in verse 7 of Acts chapter 1. Note how the Trinity is involved. The authority of the Father. He has everything in his control. Do you believe that? The Father has everything in His control. Your life. Mechti was talking to me just this morning. We've been praying for you, Mechti. The church is praying for you. You don't know what to do now. You've got the permission to remain, but you don't know where to remain. You don't know how to go about it. You have no money. You have no home. You know. But God is, He's got everything in control. Everything is in His control. And the authority of the Son, who commands us to witness, but first of all, to wait. And the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Thank you. That was the second account. Here's the first account of what we call the Great Commission. The commission to preach the gospel to disciple the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem until the power comes. And then when the power comes, then you start in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus before He ascended. Here's the second time. Sorry, here's the first account. Matthew 28. The angel who rolled the stone away from the empty tomb, do you remember? He said to the women, I know you're looking for Jesus. He's not here. He's risen from the dead. And tell His disciples to go ahead of you. He's going ahead. Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. There, you'll see Him. And again in Matthew 28, verse 10, when the women had turned away from the tomb and soon the stone rolled away, Jesus met them. And He said again the same thing. He said to the women, go and tell My disciples to go to Galilee. There they'll see Me. Now, I don't know when this happened. I can't work it out. I read and read. I try and work it all out. Who came first? What came first? It's very difficult to find out because four different accounts, all having a different emphasis and all bringing out the same and yet different things. It's difficult to know when the disciples went to Galilee in the events. But certainly it was a rendezvous that Jesus had arranged with them before He died. So when He had arisen from the dead, He wanted them to go to Galilee, to a mountain that He had appointed for them to go. Thank you. Okay. So verse 16 of Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. It was a mountain. They had to climb to that rendezvous. They couldn't just stay on the plains. They had to go up the mountain. And they saw Him. And then Jesus said to them, this is such a famous verse in Matthew 28. Jesus said, came to them and said, all authority in heaven. But He had that before He came to earth. He had all the authority of heaven before He came as Jesus. And on earth. And now He's speaking as the resurrected Jesus, going to the Father, about to ascend to the Father. And He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Now you go. You wait, and then you go. But you don't go in your strength. You go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can we have it? They heard go, they heard wait. We must wait for the power. And we must remember the reason we are given the power. This is something that so often is forgotten. Why do we receive this rushing mighty wind? Why do we receive the power of the Holy Spirit? In order that we might be happier? In order that we might be more filled with joy? In order that we might have more security in Christ? All these things are true. In order that we might demonstrate how wonderful we are? That is not the Holy Spirit. Why does he give us the power? Why does he baptize us with the Holy Spirit? That we might be witnesses. Starting in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. It's why we get the power. It's why we're baptized. It's why we walk in the Spirit, that we might witness to him. Can I just share with you, don't go any further, can I just share with you my experience of going and waiting? I'm hesitant to do so because I know that some of you have heard me say this before, but some of you haven't. And I'm only using it as an illustration. I climbed the mountain when I was 14. I didn't literally climb, of course, but I climbed into the presence of the Lord. And I heard him say, go. And so for the next 10 years, I was waiting. I was preparing. I took up a medical course. I married Gwyneth. We were prepared to go, having waited. And then, thank you. Keep going. At the age of 25, I got it wrong, it's 25 that we went to Nigeria. It shows I'm getting old. At the age of 25, we went to Nigeria in obedience to God. We didn't know where we'd end up. We didn't know where we would go in Nigeria until we got to Lagos. And then there was a letter came on board the vessel, because of course we went by boat. In those days, there were no aeroplanes flying to Nigeria. It was all going by ship. And we went twice by boat. And when we got to Lagos, there was a letter came on board telling us where in Nigeria we would go to serve. And it was Maiduguri. And most of us have heard of Maiduguri today, haven't we? It's in the news. Do you ever watch the news? Maiduguri occasionally comes into the news because that's where Boko Haram is active. That's where they've made their headquarters, in that northeastern part of Nigeria. And that's where God sent us to serve. And Chris was also one that went to that same area of Nigeria, to leprosy patients, to look after those with leprosy, and to begin from that base and spread out, beginning, you see, in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the end. We began, and we saw this great expanse on the map, and we began to move into this area. We got a Land Rover, with four-wheel drive, we were able to go through this desert, hot, arid desert, northeast Nigeria. We found Lake Chad, and some of you know the story. We went in obedience, and yes, thank you. God gave us some success. I didn't know how to write this. He gave us some success. But, and this is why I'm telling you this, we struggled greatly with the entrenched Islam. This was an area which was totally Muslim, 99.9% Muslim. And we worked amongst them, particularly there, for 15 years. And after 14 years, we saw the first person to come to Jesus. Just one in 14 years. And the rest, and even today, the majority of the Kanuri people, the Shua Arab people, even today, they don't know Jesus. There may be 20 now, 20 believers, or maybe even more. But they're still totally resistant to the gospel. And so I came back recognizing in this connection, in this way, that my power, our power, was totally insufficient. And I came back to England, thank you, and I was asked to preach, to speak. At the age of 40, I came back after not just 16 years, but 15 years. Sick in body, I heard, and maybe dysentery, and I don't recognize it. I'm a doctor, but you know, doctors don't always recognize what's wrong with themselves. And I was troubled in spirit, because I just knew that we hadn't seen the power of God at work for these Kanuri people. And it was just at this time, when I was 40, when the whole business of the baptism in the Spirit was raging. It was just this time, 45 years ago, when I heard about this new experience. Was I missing it? And that was partly my trouble. Partly I was sick, partly I was discouraged, partly I was down, but partly I was also concerned about the Holy Spirit. And God spoke to me there in Bangor in Northern Ireland. He spoke to me in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, where the only positive command in the Bible, in the New Testament, to be filled with the Spirit is in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. But actually the tense is be being filled with the Spirit. How can you be filled if you're already full? How can you go on being filled with the Spirit if you damn it all back for yourself and you say, I've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How can you be being filled? So then I read on in the scriptures, and I came to Isaiah chapter 58, thank you. Remember, I was sick. Remember, I was in a sun-scorched land. Then your healing, I read, will quickly appear. Then you will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, the Lord will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. That's what I want. That's what I still want. I want it to be a spring whose waters never fail. Whatever the difficulties, whatever the stress, whatever the circumstances, we want to be experiencing a spring of living water. Don't we? Thank you. The Holy Spirit pouring in, being filled with the Spirit. Not dammed up and held in for yourself, but pouring out for others, for the oppressed, for the hungry. The Holy Spirit pouring into our life and pouring out through our life for others. This is my experience. This satisfied me at the age of 40, and 45 years later it still satisfies me. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther King, you know, we've heard about him just this last week, haven't we, because it's 50 years since his death. And we heard that amazing sermon that he preached on being at the mountaintop. Did you hear it this last week? I've been to the mountaintop, he said. I've seen the promised land. And the next day, they killed him. They assassinated him. We've a long way to go before there's racial equality in our world. I don't think we're much further forward than in Martin Luther King's day. We've got a sick and a struggling world. There's still a huge task in our world. And this is what I'm trying to convey this morning to us as LBC. It's the only reason I've given you my experience. Because together here we are in 2018, after the Easter and before Ascension, well, here we are with the promise of the Holy Spirit, not for ourselves but for others. So what are we going to experience of the Holy Spirit? How are we going to be baptized? How is this rushing mighty wind going to come into our lives and keep on coming into our lives, that we might be pouring out ourselves for the hungry and the oppressed and the racial inequality and the refugees in our sick world and our unbelieving neighbours and those who internationals come and join us in worship? And what's particularly on my heart also, as you know, is those who live and die on the ridge. I wouldn't have chosen to help on the ridge. I really wouldn't. But God asked me to do it. And so I'm seeking to know the waiting for the power. The Holy Spirit will come into those of us who are working on the ridge, and those of us who are working amongst internationals, and those who are working amongst our neighbours, those who work in the Friendship Centre, those who work in the women's meeting, and so on. All of us, whatever we're doing. We're waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit. Because without that power, nothing happens. Nothing. It's like the canary. And so we pray. We pray daily, sometimes more than once a day, for God to do something. Not ourselves, but His power. So we're waiting. And we're going. That's what we're doing. All of us. Waiting for the power. And then go. And see God at work. Yes? Yes? Let's go. But let's wait. Let's wait. But let's go. It's more. The risen Lord tells us to wait for the power and then to go and be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Our closing hymn speaks about it. It's a prayer, really. What are the words, Martin? Lord, I come to you. Thank you. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. That's our prayer. May it be true for us as a church. Shall we sing it together as a prayer?